Shalom, everybody. Shalom. I have two friends here from Atlanta, and I just want them to introduce themselves. Say your first name.
Florence.
And?
Natalie.
Last name? Together?
Kojo Carrasco.
Wow. I can never say that. Okay. Elohim Tov. Amen. They are here visiting for our class today, and we have, you know, this is an important class. I've been on this forever now, like 3 days, and so the Lord is going to lead us into this study, and hopefully this will be the icing on top of the cake. I can leave this alone and then just wait to go home and fly. So tell the people something about
it. Hey guys, just wanted to say we love Pastor Ben and Pastor Sandy. They're true warriors of God. Real soldiers, real soldiers. I wish we'd all be so excited just like them, yeah. Because Jesus is coming. Amen. Get ready.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you guys. Have your seat in class. Well, it's not class anymore. We're so used to Hebrew school. We're not in class anymore. We are in club time because we are ready to go. I'm so excited because it's a long story. Maybe I don't think I'll get to tell it in heaven because I think I'll be too excited. But this is so exciting to be here on this day. I want to pray us in because it is important that we pray in. We are Hebrew Bible Club, so... how did that t-shirt work out? Did you get that, Pastor Ben?
Still working on it. I should have
some. It looks beautiful. Did you see the one I sent you?
I did.
It looks beautiful. Praise God. With Sandy's design on there? Did you add anything on the back or anything?
I didn't add anything, but okay. I will. Listen,
okay.
From Palm Coast, Florida, mm-hmm. from Kingsman, Arizona, from South Africa,
mm-hmm.
from Oregon,
mm-hmm.
from Australia,
mm-hmm.
Let me see, where else, Florida, Australia, up from New Zealand, from Canada.
Shalom.
And is that from Italy? And from Canada, shalom.
All right, Yeshua Achvalacha.
Oklahoma, Texas, Florida, Columbus, Ohio.
All right.
Are you going to pray now, Pastor?
Let's pray. This is our prayer, right? The Lord's prayer, because we want his kingdom to come as in heaven as it is on earth. Praise God. Avanu shaba shabaim yitchadesh shemcha tavon melchutecha yaserot sanecha be'aretz ke asher ne'asa be'shamayim tin lanu hayom lechem hukenu usilak lanu et ashmitenu ke asher solekem anachnu le asher ashmilanu v'al tevienu l'dei masa ke'im hatzilanu min hara kilaha hamamlecha v'hagivara v'hatif eret le'olamei le'olamei. Amen. Beshem Yeshua HaMashiach. There is no such thing as a winter rapture. There's no such thing as a church Rosh Hashanah rapture. Okay? Why is this? And if you understand this, you understand what the Lord is trying to show us and why we can be confident and pack our bags and get ready to go. What determines the harvest season? And what are the harvest seasons? What are they determining? Resurrection times, right? Every harvest that God planned represents a resurrection time, okay? I'm in the book of Deuteronomy. I am in chapter 16. I am in verse 16. And God simply does this wonderful thing for us. And he tells us when all the resurrections are going to happen. Okay? So when the resurrection happened right after Christ, God had already told us when that resurrection would happen. Because it happened when? Here is what it says. 3 times a year, all men must appear before the Lord your God at the place he will choose, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread. What's the Feast of Unleavened Bread? That is after first fruit. So we know that a harvest of human beings out of the earth into heaven is going to happen at the Feast of Unleavened Bread. At the Feast of Weeks, which is Shavuot or Pentecost, we know that a harvest of human beings are going to leave the earth and go to heaven because that is a harvest time. Pentecost, Feast of Weeks, Shavuot, they call it even the Feast of Harvest, is going to be a resurrection and harvest from the earth. The last harvest of the earth, it says, and they must also appear to me at the Feast of Tabernacles. So these three seasons of harvest during the year determine the resurrections that will occur on the earth, okay? From earth to heaven, one has already happened. We are waiting on the second harvest of souls to have resurrected bodies, and our bodies have to be just like the one who is the first fruit.
Yes, Jesus.
And the first resurrected body was Jesus. The second group of resurrected bodies was all the Old Testament saints who were in the grave. They resurrected and they went into the holy city, okay? Because it said tombs broke open.
Yes.
And it says they went into the holy city. So that resurrection already happened. If you understand that the harvest seasons are determining the resurrections, you will see even in Revelation, the last harvest is that tabernacle. And it's just what Deuteronomy 16:16 is saying. So we're waiting for this harvest now that is going to happen at Pentecost. Incredible things that we need to understand. First of all, look at this, Pastor Ben. Spent all night looking at this because got Talmud and all these Jewish things. They always argued over this because the Christians started saying, hey, Enoch was born on Pentecost. And the church was born on Pentecost. And Israel got married on Pentecost to God. Okay? So Pentecost is a very important day. Enoch was born on Pentecost. Then Enoch got raptured into heaven on the same day, on Pentecost. Now, what does Enoch represent for us? Enoch is one body that left the earth on Pentecost, right? Before the flood began. When the tribulation comes, that's the flood of the earth that's coming upon the earth, okay? But one body has to leave the earth before the flood comes, okay? That body is the church, because the scripture says, why does it say we are one body? Because it's equating us to Enoch, that only one body is leaving the earth, not millions of people. God doesn't see it as millions of people. He sees it as the body of Christ is leaving the earth. So Enoch, like Enoch, born on Pentecost, we were born on Pentecost, raptured on Pentecost. Wait till a week or so? We will see, right? And I'm so excited because now is the time, and God is explaining to me all the things that we've gone through over these years getting ready for this exit date. He said that this day would not surprise us. Did you know that? That this day would not take us by surprise. Why? We are not children of darkness, we're children of light. And so we're supposed to know and understand the times and seasons. So let's get into this. I gotta read this. Okay, I have this at home and I'm studying this. And this is just a sidebar because I'm still studying it. Dissertation, long study by this guy, and this is what he says. Okay, for all the people that said 70 years passed, and so I get the thing, this, no, it has not passed, because Israel was not did not become a nation on IR6 on the Jewish calendar. He said on the Jewish calendar that they're using now, yes. But on the 360-day calendar, Israel did not become a nation until the 5th of Sivan, the evening that Passover began, which was May 14th, 1948, on the 360-day Hebrew calendar. And maybe that's the calendar that God is using, but God knows the true calendar. Because if he said this generation will not pass, and the birth of the nation of Israel was on Pentecost, according to the 360-day calendar, then we're still right on point. So I'm looking at this, but it's not my big evidence. My big evidence is God has determined the rapture according to the harvest seasons. And Pentecost is the harvest season of the wheat. And we are the wheat harvest. We're not the barley harvest. We're not the fruit harvest. That's Israel and tribulation saints. We're not the barley harvest. That's the Old Testament saints that have already. But the scripture says that Jesus will bring into his barn the wheat harvest. And he will bring the wheat harvest into his barn, and the shaft he will burn up.
Pastor Sandy, yes.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I thought Pentecost was 50 years from the end of the Six-Day War, but it's actually 51. Just wanted to correct.
No. Pentecost is 50 days from the Feast of Unleavened Bread, from First Fruits. It is not 50 years. You're talking about Jubilee. If you're talking about 50 years, Pentecost is 50 days after. So that's what we're going to study right now. And I'm going to give you guys an incredible revelation that God gave me. And I should have wrote it on the board, but I didn't. But I'm going to read it. Let me see if the Lord. Yeah, Lord says, go ahead and read it now. So I'm going to read it right now. OK. You guys go to Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23. Okay, I want to make sure that this is it. 23. Okay. And we're going to be at verse 9. Okay. Now, we know about the first fruit harvest. The first fruit is who? Jesus Christ. I'm going to describe to you Jesus Christ in this first from verse 9. Okay. Oh, God. See, don't get excited. I got to stop. Before I get there, I'm going to try not to get excited. Okay. Here we go. It says, the Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you enter the land, I am going to give you, reap as harvest. Bring to the priest a sheaf of the first grain you harvest. He is to wave the sheaf before the Lord so it will be accepted on your behalf. The priest is to wave it on the day after the Sabbath. What's the day after the Sabbath? Yom Rishon, right? So what we call Sunday, okay? Because remember, Jesus rose early on the first day, which is in the Hebrew calendar, Yom Rishon, which is what we call Sunday, okay? So after the Sabbath, the first day on Yom Rishon, which is, it says, On the day you wave the sheaf, you must sacrifice. Now, you must sacrifice a burnt offering to the Lord. This is what you're supposed to sacrifice. A lamb of a year old with no defect. We're talking about Jesus, right? Because he's the lamb that was sacrificed. Together with a grain offering of a tenth of ephah of fine flour. What do you do with that? You make bread. So he's the bread of life, right? So we got the lamb, we got the bread of life, and it says mixed with oil. What is that? The Holy Spirit, the Shemesh oil, right? So as an offering made to the Lord by fire, a pleasing aroma, and its drink offering, a quart of hin of wine. You must not eat any bread or roasted of any new grain until the very day you bring the offering to your God. This is to be a lasting ordinance from generation to generation. Stop. This first fruit offering, okay? This first fruit offering is representing Jesus Christ. Why? He is going to be the first fruit of the resurrection seasons to come out of the ground. Okay? When Jesus comes out of the ground, what does he represent? Exactly what we have in here. And what do we have here? Where's my marker, Pastor Ben? Did you take it? Okay.
Find it? Okay, I got one.
No, you got one? Okay. So, because I want to write this up there. I found it now. Too late. Too late. I got you. Okay, now watch this. I want you to see this because this is the only reason that I'm writing this down, because I want you to see it. God's going to show you the rapture in this. Okay? So he's the first fruit, right? And that equals who? Jesus, right? And what is he? They say he's a lamb. And they say bring the yeast and the bread. They say not the yeast of bread, but the bread, which is going to be. So he's the bread of life, because he tells them to bring that as well, some flour, because they're going to make bread. Why? Because this offering is representing Jesus. And he says, make sure you bring some oil and mix the bread in with the oil. So you got the Lamb of God, the bread of life, the oil of the Shemesh, the anointing oil, which is representing the Holy Spirit. Okay, so now we have all of this that we're supposed to make sure we offer to the Lord when? At the Feast of First Fruit. Now let's go on and let's look at the next one. Because we're going to get to Pentecost right now. Okay? In verse 15, are you with me?
Yeah.
It says, from the day after the Sabbath, the day you brought forth the sheaf of the wave offering, count off a full count, count off 50 days to the day after the Sabbath, and then present an offering of new grain to the Lord. From wherever you live, bring two loaves of 2/10 of ephah of fine flour, and bake the with yeast as a wave offering of the first fruit to the Lord. Present this bread with how many lambs? Seven lambs, right? Why seven lambs? Okay, now here it is, Pentecost rapture. At Pentecost, we're going to present, you already got it, huh? At Pentecost, we're going to do seven lambs. How many churches are there?
Seven.
Wow. So at Pentecost, he's already given us a church symbol. Because how many people were in the boat when they were getting ready to go to the shore and see Jesus? And he called seven. Okay, how many churches in the book of Revelation? Seven. Okay, so there's a reason why he tells them at Pentecost, make sure you now present seven lambs. Okay? Now, and he says, and also bread. And then he says this, wait a minute. Let's go here. Then he says, an ephod of flour and baked with yeast as a wave offering to the Lord. Present this with the bread, seven male lambs, okay? Each a year old without a defect, It says, oh, wow, we're without defect. One young bull and two rams, they will be a burnt offering to the Lord together with the grain offering and the drink offering, the offering made by fire, an aroma pleasing to the Lord. Now, we're here and we're at Pentecost. Why does God want us to bring? Now, this bread is unleavened, okay? You guys know what unleavened mean? It means without sin. Okay? This bread, he says, make with leaven. Okay? Make this bread with leaven. A matter of fact, so that means the people that he saved did have sin, but when we presented him, we're like the bread of life. We've been, because we're a product of this lamb who had no sin. But why is it seven? Because these are the ones that are going in. Do you understand? So God is showing us a rapture in the way that the sacrifices are made at the Feast of First Fruit, the bread, when Jesus is offered as a lamb, the bread of life with the oil. And then we're seven lambs with the bread of life. Now, and then he also says, and a bull, because bulls are representing the Gentile nations, because you sacrifice 70 bulls at the end of time for all the Gentile nations. So this is telling us, look, this right here is being planned for someone that is going to be in compass of seven churches. Okay, now. Let's go back and look at Pentecost. Let's go to the book of Acts. I'm ready to go home. This is okay, here we go. You're in the book of Acts, chapter 2, right? Okay. Now we know this. After Jesus' resurrection, you know how long he hung out? 40 days. He hung out for 40 days. Then he tells the apostles, look, go to Jerusalem, okay, and wait for Pentecost, okay? Because on Pentecost, I'm going to do something. He's going to send the Holy Spirit to them on Pentecost. So he tells them to go there and wait for me, okay? And so they all go and they assemble in one place, okay? So there's an assembly of what? Jews from all over the world. Why are all these Jews in Israel from all over the world? Do you guys know? We just read it.
To go three times a year.
We read it in Deuteronomy, because every Jew, no matter where you're at in the world, you have to be in Israel on Passover, at Pentecost, and at the Feast of Tabernacles. You have to be in Jerusalem, okay? And you have to be where God tells you. And if you do not show up, it's a curse on you. So yeah. So three times a year, every male has to go get to Jerusalem. Now, why do you think there was no room in the inn on Passover?
Because the place was full.
Everybody from all over the world was there. So there's no room in the inn. Why do you think now you've got people from every nation in Pentecost, at Pentecost from all over the world in Jerusalem? Because God told them these are the times you have to be here. Okay? Now let's read this. Now it says, when the day of Pentecost had came, okay? Now, what does Pentecost mean for the Greeks?
50,
okay? So we could say, when the 50th day came, okay, it was Shavuot, okay? And they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that set and came and rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hear them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judah, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and all parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converted to Judaism," it says, "Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongue." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Okay? And it says, some, however, made fun of them, and said they had too much wine. My goodness. This is on Pentecost. And this is the birth of the church. The Holy Spirit is coming down, and he's living in the side of God-fearing men who are believing the gospel of Jesus Christ and are now in Israel. And this is the birth of the church. Now, who is this who speaks up? Peter speaks up, stood up with the 11 and raised his voice. And addressed the crowd and said, "Fellow Jews, all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning." It says, "No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days this event would happen." Okay? So now on Pentecost, the church is born.
Yeah.
Okay. We just read Leviticus. He said, count off what? How many days after Passover? Or after 50 days, right? To Passover. Now I want to show you what happened to the nation of Israel, okay, when they came out of Egypt. What happened to them? For 50 days, they wandered to the spot underneath the mountain. And it was there that God said, "I'm going to come down and marry you." Okay? So he tells Moses, go and prepare the people for what day? The third day. Everything has to be perfect with God, and this is what I love. Okay, so he tells them to wait for the third day. I'm gonna erase this real fast. I want you to wait for the third day, okay? Now watch. Jesus Christ been gone 1,000. Then he was gone another 1,000. Okay, when we got to 2017, it was the end of the 6,000. Because Jesus was born 3,983rd year of mankind. That's where you get the 17. Okay? And now, one day to the Lord is 1,000. One day, 2 days. After 2017, 2018, 2019, we are early morning on the third day. Do you understand that?
Yes.
We are early morning on the third day. In God's book, why? Because in 2017, it had been 2000. Now we're 2001, 2002. It's early on the third day. And this is when the marriage has to take place, is on the third day, because Jesus was in Canaan and his mother was there, and there was a wedding when? On the third day, and there was no wine, but there were six pots, and they filled them with water, 20 gallons each, right? 120, so this is 120 jubilees. So we know the jubilees are past, the 6,000 years are past. Did the are the 6,000 years past? Yes, passed in 2017. Is the 120th jubilee passed? Yes, passed in 2017. So where are we at? We're on the third day, and the wedding is going to take place. But let's look at their wedding. Come on, let's go back to Exodus chapter 19.
Good stuff, Pastor.
Elohim Tov. Kol Hazman. Oh, you guys, see, I'm more excited because I've been working at this since 2004. And God has been awesome. Awesome. Here we go. You're in Exodus chapter 19. Here we go. We are about 47 days after they left Egypt, okay? Because on the third day, he's telling them prepare for something. Okay, here it is. Let's start at verse 3. It says, chapter 19, verse 3. It says, then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, this is what you are to say to the house of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourself have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations, you will be a treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. So Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people and set them set them before them all the words the Lord had commanded him to speak. The people all responded together, we will do everything the Lord has said. So now you're agreeing to the marriage, right? So Moses brought the answer back to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, I am going to come down. I am going to come to you in a dense cloud, so that the people will hear me speaking with you and will always put their trust in you. Then Moses told the Lord what the people said. And the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Have them wash their clothes and be ready for the third day, because on that day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people, put limits for the people around the mountain, and tell them, be careful that they do not go up to the mountain or touch the foot of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. He shall surely be stoned or shot with an arrow. Not a hand is to be laid on him, okay? And he says, whether a man or animal, he will not be permitted to live. Only when the ram's horn sounds a long blast, they go up to the mountain. So the people can't go up to get married until when?
The horn.
Until they hear the horn blow. Okay? Because a marriage is going to take place, but you can't leave until you hear the horn blow. Okay, here we go. Because this whole event's going to take place again, but it's going to take place with the church. This is all happening on Pentecost. Okay, now watch this. It says, after Moses had gone down to the people, He consecrated them, and they washed their clothes. And then he said to the people, prepare yourself for the third day. Abstain from your wives. And he said, and on the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain. The thick cloud over the mountain was the chuppah. Uh-huh. Listen, God placed the chuppah over the mountain because the people were coming up to the mountain. So he placed the cloud over them, right? Because a marriage is about to take place. This is where they get the idea of getting married under the chuppah. Okay? Now, guys, okay. On the third day, there was thundering and lightning and a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the foot of the mountain. And it said, Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace. The whole mountain trembled violently. The sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Then Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. Wow, what a wedding day.
That's a wedding day.
I'm like, gee, I don't want to get married ever again. Right? Because the people asked after this wedding, they said, Moses, we appreciate meeting God. It was a great wedding. We appreciate it. But could you have him not speak to us anymore? If he has something to say, you tell us. Because they didn't want to hear do that, go through a marriage like that again, okay? Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. When did their wedding take place? 50 days after they left Egypt, okay? On Pentecost. Okay, that marriage took place. Now the Bible wants to tell you about another marriage that's going to take place on Pentecost. Are you in Hebrews chapter 12? Are you in verse 14? Okay, it says, I'm going to read this first part because this is a warning for us, okay? It says, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Yes. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. What's he doing? This is my job right here. Yeah. The whole reason that God called me is prepare my people for what? To leave. Yeah. Okay? So I have to tell you this. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. What does holiness mean? Separate yourself from the world. Yeah. Don't be like them. Don't talk like them. Don't enjoy the things they enjoy. Holy means I'm separated to God. I'm holy to my wife. All my actions are separate to my wife. You understand? My wife is holy unto me. We are each other's. You understand? We don't mix with other people because we're holy. That's how we're supposed to be with God. Separate yourself and be holy. Because he says, without this, you will not see the Lord. Okay? See to it that no one misses the grace of God. And that no bitter root grow up to cause trouble and defile many, so that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, for a single meal sold his inheritance. Okay, his inheritance, right? As the oldest son, and he says afterwards. As you know, when he wanted to inherit his blessing, he was rejected. He could bring about no change of mind, though he sought the blessing with tears. That is the warning to all believers, okay? Don't sell your inheritance right. You've accepted Christ. You have the Holy Spirit. Separate yourself from the world and live for God, okay? You tell people that, they just say you're judging. So, verse 18, it says, you have not come to a mountain that can be touched, Remember, they weren't allowed to touch the mountain.
Right.
You have not come to a mountain that can be touched, that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further words be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touched the mountain, it must be stoned. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. But you have come, who's he talking to? The church. You have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. That's where we're going, you guys.
Yeah.
You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels, to a joyful assembly. Remember, they were all assembled in one place on Pentecost? Now we're going to another assembly. But this is a marriage, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. Wow. You have come to God, the judge of all men, the spirit of righteous men made perfect. To Jesus, the mediator, the new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. So to it that you do not see to it that you do not refuse to speak, and if you do not escape and refuse. Okay. I'm finished there. But I want you to understand, the marriage that we're going to is going to be on Pentecost, just as their marriage was on Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
But he's letting you know here in Hebrews, the marriage you're coming to is not going to be like the marriage they endured. Because the marriage they endured was smoke, fire, trembling, and a voice speaking to them that made them afraid. He said, but the marriage you're coming to is in Mount Zion among thousands of of angels. Okay? And he says, you have come to the assembly of those who have been born of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Okay? So we have to understand, God has planned another marriage in heaven that's going to be just like the marriage that they had at Mount Sinai, but with different, in a different way. Okay? So we're looking at the same Pentecost time. What is the word written in stone, okay? Without all of these other things that we have going, the word written in stone is Deuteronomy 16:16, which says what? You must come to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of First Fruits, at the Feast of Pentecost, and at the Feast of Tabernacles, and you must bring an offering, because this will be the harvest seasons. So Jesus came and took the first harvest after he resurrected. Now Jesus is going to take his second harvest, which is the wheat harvest, and he's going to take that harvest out of the world. But when is the second harvest? Pentecost. Okay? So the church can't look for a harvest season on any other time other than the time that God has determined, which is Pentecost. But are we ready for that? Well, there are prerequisitions to the marriage, right? First of all, okay, we know that Enoch was born on Pentecost and he was raptured on Pentecost. So that means this rapture has to take place before the flood. Okay? Because if this is Enoch, this is before the flood. Okay? This harvest can only take place after the 6,000 years are finished. And that was over with 2017. And then it has to be the end of the 120 Jubilees. That's already taken place. Now, here we are, 2017, the end of 6,000 years, and you know what I'm thinking? And plus, it was the end of the 120th Jubilee. So in 2017, I'm like, we're getting raptured. We gotta be getting raptured. The wedding takes place not on the third day, but after the third day. Okay, I mean, not on the exact 6,000 years, because once he entered the 6,000th year and the 120th Jubilee, remember, Moses was 120 years old and he died. Okay? The children of Israel did not cross over to the paradise until after Moses had died, right? And who brought them over? Joshua, right? Yeshua brought them over for this crossing. So there is going to be a second crossing, but it's going to be the children of God. And remember, for this, he says, I don't want to get into that. Let's get, we can get back to that. I hope so. We can get back to that. Okay. So now, and we know also now it's the third day. It's because the wedding has to take place on the third day. And so now everything falls into hand. So why we didn't have a rapture in 2017? Well, in 2017, at Tishri, 10th was Yom Kippur. And then we had the Jubilee year. On Yom Kippur, we had Jubilee. Okay, so now we have Jubilee in 2017. Guess what? You're not allowed to harvest a field in a Jubilee year. So even if God wants to harvest the church, he can't. He has to wait till the Jubilee year is over. So from September 2017 to September 2018 at Tishri, then the Jubilee was over. But now when's he going to rapture the church now? He's waiting for what? The harvest season of the wheat. And so now we wait till Pentecost, which ends up being 2019 for us at Pentecost. And now this is when he's going to rapture the church, because now the church is eligible to be harvested. I can't harvest you from this time to that time. That's a Jubilee year. All the way to September of 2018, it was a Jubilee year. So do you think I should do it at Christmas time? You can't. Why? It's not a wheat harvest. Who gathers wheat in the winter? So God's like, I got to wait till the wheat harvest. Wow. You kids, will you wait? God, you're such crazies with all this rapture stuff. Wait until it's time for me to harvest and I'll bring you up. So we're waiting. Now the harvest season is here. And then I get this crazy news, because Jesus says this generation will not pass until all these things happen, right? Incredible revelations in that. But now this guy gets a hold of me with this. I'm sorry to tell you, but Israel's birthday is not IR 6. They're May 14th on that day on the 360-day calendar was actually Sivan 5th, and at evening it was Sivan 6, which was Pentecost, May 14th, 1948, which will end the 70-year birthday, okay? I have the website, so you can go and read his study and study the 360-day year calendar to see that it was on Pentecost that they were born, and it's on Pentecost that it will end the 70th year, and it's on Pentecost that the harvest is about to happen. And guess what? It's before summer. Pentecost comes before summer. So if Pentecost comes before summer, then that means Song of Songs, which predicts what? A rapture in the spring. And Jesus says, you know that summer is near. He doesn't say, you know that it's summer. He says, when you see that, you know that summer is near. We're not going to hit summer, okay? Because Song of Songs says the bride is taken up in the spring, Okay? And so now we have the 117 code that's all in Song of Songs that tells us this is a marriage time. And I'm done. I am amazed. Let me tell you something. I am amazed at God, okay? I am really amazed at God. And I'm looking forward to our wedding, and I'm glad it's not going to be like Israel's wedding. Because I don't want to be scared. I just want to go up and see God in joy and peace, okay? And this is what we're waiting for. Amen. Our wedding day is going to be awesome.
Amen.
I hope you're prepared. I know you love Jesus. And it's just going to be an awesome day. You know, a week and a few days left, right? Amen. Come by the house in heaven, and I'll make you something to eat. Praise God.
You better pray out,
Pastor. Yeah, could you guys come pray out with me? Hallelujah. Okay, let me see. Where is, I can sing it, but I can't. You guys, don't look at my writing, because you'll give me an F in penmanship. Here it is. Look at that. Yivarekka Adonai v'yishmarekka, Yair Adonai panav v'lecha v'chunekka, Yi'aseh Adonai panav v'lecha v'yasim l'kai shalom. And the Lord said to Moses, when you see my people, tell them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you grace. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom, everybody. Let's say shalom. 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 Shalom, everybody. God bless you. Is next week past June? Past our flight date?
It is.
Okay. Le'ithrio be'shavu haba. See you next week. God bless you.
All right.
All right. Let's go. Thank you, guys.